All right, everyone, welcome back to another QS Insider Cast. We're doing it a little bit later this week. Had some technical difficulties on Thursday, but you know, that's life. We're here. We're ready to talk magic. My name's Joe. You might know me as MTG Joe D. And with me is my co-host,
Crowberry.
Who you probably know.
You know me, right? If you're in these QS parts, you've seen me around. I'm here. Answer your questions and
Crowberry.
Take all your complaints.
And fix things stuff sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Or get other people to fix the things. First thing on the docket today is we just wanted to give a huge birthday shout out to Cardi B, the musician. It's Cardi B's birthday. Isn't that right, Crowberry?
Yeah, and I put that on our podcast docket because I thought it'd be pretty important in the world of magic. You know, like we have. I'm just kidding. I don't know how to follow that up.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Happy birthday, Cardi B.
Yeah, we were on Twitter following grand finals stuff and saw it was Cardi B's birthday, and you know, gotta give a shout out to the GOAT. So speaking of grand finals,
that's the acronym you wanted to use, huh?
Greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good thing.
Not a different acronym. Anyway.
the grand finals is what's happening right now, right? That's what they're calling it. The 2020 grand finals
2020.
It's kind of crazy, you know. Omnath Adventures is 59.4% of the field in the standard section of the event, which I don't think surprised anyone, right?
Absolutely not. we've got a pretty significant portion of each field because we have standard and historic at this event. Omnath is pretty much the dominating strategy to be playing here, and I don't see that changing anytime soon unless something drastic happens.
Well, yeah, and I guess speaking of, there's rumors of a banning happening tomorrow. The page looks like it's there on the mothership. There's nothing, you know, there right now, but it looks like the page exists, and they might be doing a surprise announcement, which, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some cool standards standouts in the event. You know, Emma Handy and Autumn Burchett, who made the top eight, were running a pretty slick Gruul Adventures list that I'm kind of hyped on. You know, if I had more time to be playing Arena right now, I'd probably be playing that on my Sunday morning, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the best strategy that isn't Omnath at the moment. It's a green-red aggressive list, and you've got the added benefit of just having a lot of efficient creatures here. Big thing here being a Edgewall Innkeeper, kind of propping up the whole deck on turn one, and then you're just playing good red and green cards.
Yeah, with like that adventure upside. It's a mechanic that I think is pretty cool, that we haven't really seen a lot of like dedicated adventure stuff in a while. But I think one of the standouts that people have been talking a lot about this last week running up to it, which I think is an interesting standard possible pickup to look at, you know, especially if we lived in a world where we're playing paper magic right now. But Gemraiser has been touted as like an MVP of, you know, the standard metagame that's not Omnath, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it appears to be a four of in all the lists that are in top eight right now. And I would assume it's in almost all of these grand finals decks for Gruul Adventures as a playset.
Yeah, it looks like it. And it's cool. I've been playing with it in mono green. Like I saw Crokies, you know, the famous Arena player, tweeting about how Gemraiser was going to be the MVP of the event, and it's like the best card you could be playing in Gruul or mono green. And it playing with it myself, it's pretty cool. You know, you get a destroy target artifact or enchantment, which is really good against people running Lucky Clover, right? And it's also got Reach, which is, you know, pretty important. If you're playing Arena, at least, there's going to be a lot of flying rogues and stuff. So I found the Reach to be pretty awesome myself.
Yeah, it's no questing beast, but it has a lot of text on it that is relevant against the metagame. I mean, for example, just playing the mirror with this, you have an out to Embercleave.
Right.
And getting that off the table if it's not lethal, assuming the turn it hits you, but.
Which, you know, fairly often, it's not gonna.
Yeah, you're usually gonna die. Yeah. But not always.
Yeah, no, I, as someone who has ran plenty of Embercleaves, I've had them stopped. I can never stop them when they're played against me.
Of course.
But
magic doesn't work that way.
But yeah, so I think it's interesting that the predictions about Gemraiser are coming true. I saw a lot of people this last week talking about, you know, loading up their cart with the their TCG player carts with the Godzilla version. It's got the cool one. It's the one with the planes that people were laughing about. If you look close at the art, it's got the cool little fighter planes going around it.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool card, honestly. Like, if I wouldn't mind picking up a couple. I didn't. I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger on that, but I just like all the Godzilla cards, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth having four of them. I'll say that much. Like I said, this is a pretty efficient creature with a lot of relevant text in the metagame, and I don't see this being terrible going forward. Right now, we're in a zone where, you know, there's speculative bannings tomorrow, which it's always fun to do a cast the day before that.
Right.
We get to be in prediction town and sort of think of what's going to happen, you know, in 24 hours. I think, of course, this card's going to stick around. There's no reason to ban it at all.
No.
But does this strategy become the premier strategy should we see an Omnath ban? That's the question I'm asking myself here.
Yeah, that's a good question, too. Because, like, it's good. But a lot of the reason it's good is because it is good against the Omnath ramp and the Omnath adventures, you know, shutting down Clover, you know, blocking flyers and stuff. But I think Gemraiser itself is still going to be really good because a lot of people have been talking about that mono green list, the mono green aggro that's been seen on the ladder a lot on Arena. It's not in any of these big events, but, you know, it's putting up numbers like in the Mythic tier, and Gemraiser is great in mono green. So I don't know if Gruul Adventures would become like the best deck, but it's not going away, I think, if they ban Omnath.
Yeah, I mean, the core suite of adventure cards as well were already pretty potent. You know, you have the, like I was saying, Edgewall Innkeeper, but Bone Crusher Giant and Lovestruck Beast, those are pretty significant going ahead.
I don't have the stats right now on Bone Crusher Giant. I lost that tweet somewhere. But there is an absurd amount of Bone Crushers being played in this event. Like, almost every deck that's not Dimir Rogues is running four Bone Crushers. Like, it's in Omnath Adventures, it's in Omnath Ramp, it's in the Rakdos deck, it's in Gruul Adventures. It's insane. I think the Rogues list is the one list that got published that's not running four Bone Crushers.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's two mana for a shock, but getting that plus a really hefty creature afterwards that, you know, also has a lot of relevant text in an aggressive deck. I think it should we not be in a pandemic time when people are playing FNM events, this would probably be one of the, other than Dimir Rogues, like probably the premier strategy for people sleeving up cards in an FNM.
Oh yeah.
And it's really interesting that both of these cards in their normal versions are a dollar or less. Even the storybook versions and non-foil are barely above that. You can, for example, a Bone Crusher Giant, just for a regular copy, is $1.99 on Card Kingdom, and that's usually one of the higher cost retailers. So I imagine during a normal time, we'd probably see these cards at $5 a piece or somewhere around there. Right now, you know, it's hard to project growth at all, because there's no in-store events happening, but
yeah,
I think we'd be seeing a different story should that be the case.
Yeah, I can just imagine, like, if I were still working at a card shop and we were still running, you know, FNM every week, the amount of kids being like, please tell me you have Bone Crushers in stock. Like, I need them tonight, you know?
I mean, yeah, they're just so ubiquitous right now. I mean, they were, you know, they weren't quite Uro or Omnath, but wow.
So yeah, what do you think? Like, what is your prediction for the banning if it happens tomorrow? Like, do you think they would go for Omnath this early in its lifespan?
Will they? I am not 100% certain. Should they? Yes. Just looking at the numbers, all the things that are going on in Standard right now, I feel like it would be a healthy movement to get rid of it, because it's the dominant strategy by a pretty wide margin. And you know, of course, a Pro Tour style metagame, people are going to gravitate towards the best strategy. And sort of lopsided numbers. It's different than like an open event where people are playing what they want to play for the most part.
Right.
But I think they should get rid of it. You know, and it does suck for those people who invested in Omnath decks and, you know, were you know, heart set on that for a while. Because it is a mythic in a brand new set that's been out for only a few weeks here. But I think it should go. That's just my assessment of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if they would. What do you think the chances are of, like, Bone Crusher catching a ban? Because there's more Bone Crushers in the event than there are Omnaths.
See, that is a bit interesting to me, but I don't think it's ban-worthy. You know, the front half of it is just, like I said, shock. It's not that dominant. Anything with the storybook mechanic or the adventure mechanic, I don't think they're really on the chopping block, although it is interesting that they are showing up in that high number.
Because a lot of the times when they've done the bannings, like when they did Uro or whatever, one of their things they talk about is like, well, an overwhelming percentage in the metagame was this card. Like, I don't think Bone Crusher is unfair by any means, but if they're going by that metric, I don't know. It'd be weird if they took Bone Crusher out. I think Clover might be on the chopping block.
I mean, big enabler. See most of the top eight is the four-color adventures deck. That has Omnath and Lucky Clover in it. I wouldn't be surprised if they ban Lucky Clover just to make this strategy less good. But I think Omnath is kind of the glue that holds it together.
Yeah. Casey brought up an interesting question in the QS Cast QA channel here, thinking, like, would they ever do an errata on Omnath for each ability to only occur once instead of once per turn or whatever?
Well, see, I think that could happen. You know, we've seen erratas with new cards fairly frequently. Yeah, Companion was the most recent example. We saw it with Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, although that was just a minor quality of life errata. It's not unlike them to offer extra rules on these cards, and it certainly makes sense in a digital space, but again, we're kind of our old dinosaur card game where we live in the paper realm as well, and that's not as clean of a rules change.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That could be one way to try to, like, cover up their mistake. Well, not cover up, but, you know, like, not lose out on pack sales, right? Like, well, you could still play the card. It's still good. It would still be good with an errata like that. It just wouldn't be as oppressively good, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing here, too, is that you still have availability to play this card in other formats. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if they banned it in Standard, because this card's still going to retain some value as a mythic in a new set that is good in Modern. I haven't seen it played dominantly in Legacy, but Canister just published a list that he won the Modern Challenge with Omnath, so there's potential for it to be pretty good in Modern, if not a great strategy. And there's just the fact that you could play it in Commander as a four-color general.
Yeah.
I think that also kind of helps prop it up. It's going to feel bad if you're a Standard-only player to crack this out of a pack, but outside of that, it's still a really powerful card with a ton of text on it.
Yeah, I mean, people have 5-0'd Legacy Leagues with, you know, two copies in their Snowco deck.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it is good enough to be featured in at least that awful conglomeration of a deck.
Yeah, you know, and pardon me for not knowing that, because I kind of been tuned out of Legacy lately. It is,
no,
in
I
my opinion,
it.
Such a garbage fire that I don't even spend any energy thinking about it anymore, which is
yeah.
I mean, a little upsetting because it was my favorite format right? for a long time.
I can just see you forgetting it as soon as you edited for clarity on the articles I wrote about it.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
just, you know, if I can't call you out in public live on a podcast.
Yeah, where can you call me out?
Right. It was like a throwaway line in the article.
I know.
But I don't know. So, yeah, I think like Clover maybe gets hit. Something out of Omnath's got to get hit. We don't even have confirmation the banning's happening. I would be really surprised if it didn't. And it looks like the page is there and they're ready for it. But I don't know. Not having like an official confirmation yet also feels kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. And the they do have the precedent set after premier level events to have another ban and restricted announcement. So it could be just nothing either way. They may just let it go again. And we could see a ban further down the line. Which, honestly, you know, it says to me, like, I kind of don't want to be playing standard if, you know, I don't want to grind the ladder because it doesn't seem very fun to just play against the same deck all day or with the same deck.
I went back to historic in my grinding.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing Death and Taxes in historic because I couldn't handle the Omnath mirror over and over and over and over. So, mm-hmm. you know, as someone who does, you know, try to grind on Twitch and stuff for some of my streams, I would love it if they did like a crazy shakeup ban, which mm-hmm. I don't think they would, but you know, when we're only being able to play digital events for the most part, I think they could. It would be really neat to just see a bunch of stuff banned or restricted or something. But
yeah, it definitely shakes things up for a short time frame. But they have to weigh that against customer confidence too, and that is a big part of that's a huge part of selling packs, right? So I think Omnath staying legal would suck, but I wouldn't be surprised if they skip banning it on Monday here. Speaking of Omnath too. Yeah, right. Speaking of Omnath too, in historic, kind of the other half of this event, it's still a pretty significant part of the metagame at 34% of the field being Omnath ramped, which is a little more comforting, but it still looks like the prevailing strategy. But there are so many more disparate strategies that are successful there. Like you still have Jund Sacrifice, Four Color Midrange, Neo Storm is a cool deck, Azorius Control. There's a lot of strategies that don't lean on Omnath to win that are still successful. So that gives me hope, and I don't think we'll see it banned in historic.
No, I doubt it. But another cool component of those historic lists, though, that you and I were talking about, mm-hmm. is that Yasharn, Implacable Earth, the like cool elemental boar that works really well with landfall. You know, when Yasharn enters the battlefield, search your library for a basic forest card and a basic plains. Reveal those cards, put them into your hand, the shuffle of the library. And then players can't pay life or sacrifice non-land permanents to cast spells or activate abilities. I think this could be a sick pickup, especially if we do see like an Omnath banning and people still want to play landfall strategies. Because this like kind of shuts down the sacrifice lists that are super popular still in like historic and a little bit in standard. And you can pick up copies still for under $1 on TCG Player. I may have won a little ham yesterday when I saw people tweeting about it. So I've got a lot on the way to my house, and I would like it if it went up in price a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, yeah, we're sitting at an average of 75 cents, it looks like.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's definitely a ground floor sort of pick right now. It's still, and you know, I take everything with a grain of salt where people say, yeah, look at this card in standard. It's you know, it's going to be on the rise when we run the paper space because there are no paper events going on.
Right, for sure.
So I think it'll put a little pressure on it. There will be some demand for the card. Just seeing it on coverage, but it's hard to say if it pops off right now. In just in general, I think, you know, I've been in pretty much a holding pattern where I pick things up and I sit on them, you know, waiting for us to sort of get out of this pandemic state. And we're all hoping that comes pretty soon, obviously. But, you know, for reasons outside of Magic. But I think a lot of these cards, we still have a huge window of opportunity and a pretty wide time frame to get into them before they start going up. So it's cool in that sense. And yeah. I think this is just one of those cards that will be, you know, you'll have a lot of time to just get it under a dollar.
Oh, for sure. Hopefully I end up sitting on a big pile of them and then they get played in EDH or something. And I don't look like a total fool if we never get to play the standard format and paper, but
yeah,
it's a cool green pig.
Go ahead.
The art's cool, you know, big green pig thing. Who doesn't like that? Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I mean, we don't, maybe this standard format, it's not, you know, the best card to be getting into right now, but who's to say that sacrifice lists don't make a big play in the next set we get. We still have a pretty rapid release schedule coming along here.
Right. With
probably a lot of different mechanics. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw sacrifice as a component of Strixhaven.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Sort of wizardry themed. There could be like a warlock school. If there's a opportunity to have a sacrifice deck there. So I don't think this is a terrible pickup. If we ever got those strategies back into standard as a premier component, because right now we have the cat band Cauldron Familiar, right?
Yeah. Poor Sig. I keep seeing Sig on Twitter being like, unbanned cat. That was a fun deck. I'm with him. I was also running that. So
yeah. Yeah, I remember every day on Twitch when you were streaming during the weekday, it was just all cat all the time.
It was a fun list for to play, not to play against. All those triggers. Yeah. You can't shorten Arena, unfortunately. But yeah, we'll see. I'll keep you all updated on whether my like sleepy Yasharn pickup pays off. I saw the tweets. I got a message from Crowberry. I was half asleep, and I ordered a bunch on TCG Player. So. Oh. You know, I did it so you don't
never
have to.
Listen to me.
I don't know. I don't think I'll regret it. You know, I didn't spend too much money. We'll be okay. Could be cool, you know?
But yeah, standard is, I feel like we've talked a lot of this to death too, because it's just been the same conversation over and over again. And this tournament is just highlighting all the problems that we have with it, even post Uro ban.
So great transition. Speaking of talking things to death.
Oh my God. Come on, man. Why
I'm
you gotta
sorry.
Do me like that?
I'm still waking up. We should probably touch on the Walking Dead secret lair one more time.
Grown zone.
More stuff happened since the last time we talked about it. Last week we talked about the controversy. We talked about, you know, people talking about Rick maybe being good. Then there were some unboxings after we talked about it. Surprise, there's a card they didn't even list that's hidden in there. And it's Lucille. It's Negan's Bat. Kind of an odd choice, I think, to make into a Magic card.
Yeah. Flavorfully, if you've seen the show or are familiar with the universe, it's pretty on par with being a flavorful card. They really did a good job there. But
I mean, it's a legendary artifact. It's an equipment. It's a colorless and a black mana. A chanted creature gets +2/+0 and has menace. And whenever equipped creature attacks, defending player sacrifices a creature. If they do, you create a walker token. It's equip 4. I've seen a lot of commander players talking about like, oh no, that's great for such and such deck. I can't believe they did that. They didn't advertise it. I want it. It's a pre-selling for $29 by itself on TCG Player right now.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these cards are around that price range as well. Yeah. So,
I thought it was wild that was included and not like spoiled with the cards. And if there hadn't been so much controversy, like that whole idea could have been neat, right? Like you see an unboxing, you get your MTGO code, and you're like, oh, fun card. But it's something to be aware of, especially if you picked up the secret lair, or if you haven't yet. If you're listening to this right now, as we're live, you have till tomorrow morning to pick up Walking Dead Secret Lairs if you're interested. Rick, the human card, has taken a couple of five of those now in Legacy events on Magic Online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. They're cards that are legal in Legacy, and apparently they're good.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's probably in the humans deck here. I'm looking at a tweet from Yosai Easy on Twitter here. Two of in this deck, and it seems like it was pretty impactful in a few, you know, less than zero games. So I might see it being here to stay. It competes for space with cards like Palace Jailer in that four drop slot, which is usually a pretty relevant card.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. And there's also the argument that, like, some of the people who did these first 5-0s were, like, you know, humans experts and, like, Death and Taxes experts mm-hmm. who are already really good at piloting the deck. So this is a case, like, I know I'm always preaching about, like, if you see the Magic Online results happening, it's a good indicator of, like, good cards to pick up. But also, like, these players could probably slot out two cards in their deck and still win, mm-hmm. you know. But the fact that they are saying he was impactful in games, like, I think he'll be played in Legacy.
Yeah, I don't see it going anywhere. These will be, you know, we like to say the limited ability is not the greatest factor of this product, but there'll be enough of these out there in the online ecosystem to where people will get a hold of them and be playing them in leagues.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a true name nemesis situation where those were just very hard to get a hold of for a long time.
Yeah, so if you're looking to pick up Ricks, I think you could probably get away with buying singles. I don't know if I would say rush out and buy four secret lairs, right?
Did you say Pickle Rick?
No. It's the funniest thing I ever saw. Oh, man. I lost my train of thought there.
Yeah, my bad, dude.
No worries. I do want that altar, though. At least for Commander. It's like a Pickle Rick. But like I can see buying the secret lair if you want to sit on it, but if your only goal is to play the Ricks, I don't know, maybe see if you can get trade credit somewhere and get them.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't decided. I have a cart with some secret lairs in it that I haven't pulled the trigger on because I'm not sure I want to encourage this kind of product, but also it seems like a no-brainer financially. I don't know. And speaking of eternal formats, Glenn won a vintage league. It was a three of in a vintage deck. But I don't know. That may have been more of a case of a good player just putting it in there for fun.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that was the other card that we kind of predicted would be eternal playable in a 60 card format. I thought it was going to be more playable in Legacy Humans, but apparently life finds a way elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's funny that Vintage was the first place we saw it. Because, I mean, like, you know, it's just a cold-eyed Selkie, basically.
Yeah, essentially.
But, you know, it's got our boy Glenn on it.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we're sooner rather than later going to see the counterpart cards just due to all the backlash that Wizards has received here. That being said, the way that news has been moving for this game lately, I mean, you know, people are pretty much off of talking about the Walking Dead cards with the level of vitriol that they had, you know, just a week ago. When you have stuff like the grand finals here happening, it feels like all of that discourse has been erased for a weekend and people are going to essentially forget about it in social media spaces by Monday. Definitely due to the banning announcement, if there's anything significant as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's wild. So, it's wild how news works, especially like in a pandemic with Twitter and like general outrage. Another interesting point, financially speaking, kind of about the Walking Dead Secret Lair, is the Commander Rules Committee did decide not to ban the cards. They did a big post about it where they were not happy that they were created, but they also weren't going to try to ban them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's noteworthy because, you know, originally when we were talking about this product, it's like, oh, it's for Commander players. They're the ones who are going to want to be buying these and playing them. And, you know, I would think, like we talked about, if the Commander Rules Committee did ban it, then we probably, you know, it would have been a riskier buy if you're trying to sit on him. But, you know, now it's playable.
Yeah, all systems go is basically the philosophy here in both picking these up and also Wizards trying to print more products like this. I think, you know, I'm not trying to call anyone out here, but that essentially gives free license for Wizards to get away with another product like this. You know, depending on how you feel about it, I think it's fine that these exist and it sets a cruddy precedent, but these are going to be available in spaces outside of the Secret Later ordering if you want singles from this product. Like, yeah, things are going to go down. They've guaranteed that we're getting the counterparts eventually, quotes. So I think it's, I don't think it's a some total death of magic thing that people were heralding as.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Like, it's kind of a bummer. Like, there's no way getting around that. No matter where you stand on it, even just the outrage that came from it is a bummer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, at least if they do something like this again, I hope they handle it differently.
But yeah, I mean, we kind of saw the biggest source of community outrage was that the flash in the pan captain format. I don't want to dwell on that too long, but
just the quickest rise and fall of a format ever.
Yeah, the tiny leaders got nothing on this.
Oh man, just like quick summary: a big commander player online tried to start a new format to like combat the CRC because it's salty about not banning it, and then there was a lot of ne'er-do-wells who flocked to the Discord, and it was toxic community instantly. Mm-hmm. The person who started it abandoned it within like 24 hours. It was wild.
Yeah, once you put an idea out there on the internet, sometimes you lose ownership over it fairly quickly, or control over it, I should say.
Yeah,
he definitely had to own that for a while. And then bow out sort of disgracefully. But like I said, people will forget in a week and it won't matter all that much.
Right. It was really interesting to watch, too. Like, if we're talking about, you know, cycles of outrage and news and stuff, like how quickly it built up and then fell out. You know, not necessarily from a financial perspective or anything, but just was interesting to watch, I think.
Yeah, it didn't even have enough time to breathe to affect the prices of anything.
Yeah.
In you know, it was essentially a clone of Commander with the Walking Dead cards banned. Should it have gone on for a little while longer and had its own rules committee more interested in the health of the format, I think we could have seen some movement on stuff like that. But as well, like, it seems a little silly to react with let's create a new format that is a, you know, near mirror image of a official existing one that they print sealed products for periodically. Because there are always house rules. There's always going to be playgroup unspoken word about what you should and should not do in a game of Commander with your friends. You know, a lot of people dislike land destruction and would just as easily put that on the same ban list as these Walking Dead cards.
Right. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's such a house rule format. It's a casual format. Like, I don't know. I agree with you. Just, like, ban it at your table if you don't want it.
Yeah. If you don't like it, don't play it. And if you don't like other people playing it, don't play with them. And that's kind of what it boils down to. And that's probably all we should say about it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. What do you want to talk about next? I'm looking at our docket. I got lost. I was looking at Secret Lair stuff.
You want to talk about the show Lost?
No. There's enough of that in my own Discord.
But yeah, I think our next topic here was sort of how the outrage of, you know,
people
in the tourist sphere can affect card prices. You know, we kind of just brushed on that now with the captain thing, but the banning of the possible banning of Omnath tomorrow and maybe some other cards, I think that's interesting to think about too. because we've kind of been in that space for better part of this last decade here with the advent of, you know, Facebook and Twitter, Reddit, especially being these sort of places to complain about cards and then hopefully enact change as a vocal community,
right?
Whether it be good or bad, but it does have financial weight, in the fact that things get banned due to outrage sometimes, or seemingly due to that. So it's sort of an interesting topic to think about in that sense.
Yeah, like it sucks doom scrolling on Twitter and, you know, living in that outrage, right? But I think
you could have just
ended
your sentence. It sucks doom scrolling on Twitter.
Yeah, but if you're like living in the Magic Twitter and breathing that outrage and stuff, I think if you're trying to approach Magic from a financial perspective, it's worth paying attention to. Because, like, you know, there were the cards that got banned because of, you know, like the Invoke Prejudice and stuff, mm-hmm. which, you know, I'm on the side of that. But
yeah, those
like
cards
that was a,
did not need to exist
yeah,
in, their,
there was a,
in their forms.
Yeah, big rally on Twitter and on social media, and now they're gone. And they're not worth a ton except to the certain collectors. But, like, you can look at the eBay listings. They were selling for a ton right when they banned, and now way less than half of what they were selling for.
Yeah, folks definitely capitalized on that.
Yeah, which, that's a topic for another time. But, you know,
unethical,
like,
yes. Profitable, like, maybe.
Right. And then, you know, when personalities in the game, like artists, are found out to be bad people, like those lands, you know, a lot of like Noah Bradley stuff, not worth what it was. People don't want to buy and sell the lands. So outrage drove that, you know. It's interesting. We didn't really see it happen with Therese Nielsen stuff, even though there's a lot of discussion about that in the Twitter sphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very minor reactions to that sort of era of card, too, because really, it's interesting, too, because her art is featured on so many staple cards in the game. Like, you have Therese Nielsen's art on Force of Will being the most significant one, I think. But also, you know, old vintage classics like the Guru Lands. And then even newer stuff like Back to Basics is
right.
is her art, the latest printing of it, which was a pretty dominant Legacy sideboard card for a while, a couple of years ago. So, I mean, it also depends on just playability and choice. You know, you see Noah Bradley's lands, you can go play other basics very easily. Go dig in your box, you've got a million of them. But it's sort of hard to combat that and make your stylistic choices when you have cards like Force of Will, only having two artists or three artists now.
Yeah, right? Now it's you can get
or
the
four artists, and yeah. a lot of them are premium printings.
Yeah,
as an alternative.
Finally, like for a while though, you could only play basically unless you had a ton of money for the Judge promos.
Yeah, and now there's the Amonkhet Invocation, which is still pretty expensive. But and then we have our latest Double Masters printing, which, you know, the full art non-foils are still not as accessible as they could be due to printing shortages and things of that nature. VIP booster packs, having foils for those were a significant source of those printings too. But yeah, it's a premium product that a lot of people weren't going to have access to. And I'm surprised we didn't see more outrage over that to begin with. I mean, that's kind of I feel like that's more of a hot button issue than the Secret Lair,
right?
Walking Dead cards. But, you know, people have picked their battles the way they've picked them, I guess.
It's just weird how the hive mind works. And I think it's worth paying attention to, but I also don't know, like, if we could give advice on how to react to it. Because it seems like, you know, we've gotten to the point in our discussion here, we could go either way. Like, sometimes outrage does impact, like, us financially as players and as collectors and speculators. And sometimes it just can't. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we can look back as far as Splinter Twin, or, I mean, even further back, Chase the Mind Sculptor and Standard. I feel like, you know, and that was a time where they were learning a lot about what the new era of Magic discourse was like. You know, when World Wake was still a legal set, when you had Jason Stoneforge ruling the standard metagame.
Yeah.
Feels like forever ago at this point. But yeah, with those cards, you know, those stuck around for a very long time with people being pissed off about it. And they were, and it took Jace showing up in, you know, every deck of a top eight at a Grand Prix, or I think it was 7 out of 8. It took that to make them finally pull the trigger on it. And even then they did a strange banning where they got rid of Jace, but Stoneforge was like quasi-legal due to a event deck printing.
Oh, yeah.
A weird half measure, but I guess that made it fine. But yeah, we've had that. A lot of discourse surrounded that for so long before they took any action. And then you can kind of fast forward to Splinter Twin in Modern would be the other big example where it wasn't even a dominant card in the metagame, but people complained about it so much as being either the best deck or the least interactive to play against or whatever reason they gave. The discourse around that was for the better part of 3 or 4 years, it felt like, until they finally got rid of it. And I, you know,
that's when you stopped playing Modern.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. That is when I jumped ship and felt way better about investing in Legacy and getting my first set of duels.
Man, talk about a flashback.
Yeah.
And the other thing, like Arena wasn't around then to be driving data and more like constant. You couldn't just be living in the game the same way.
Yeah. I mean, MTGO still existed for the, you know, the really enfranchised player. I mean,
right.
I remember, you know, I was still relatively young in my Magic career at that point, around 2014, when I really adopted Splinter Twin as my only deck in Modern for a long time. You know, I myself never really wanted to make the jump to MTGO to play it more and more, because I was mostly a casual player of Magic in general. And I feel like that was a big barrier to a lot of folks back then too. Like, the interface is bad. I mean, it's still not great. They've made some improvements obviously in the last 6 years. But yeah, you kind of, like, I think you're right. You don't live in the same space of having Magic being constantly available in the form of Arena, at least in the formats that a lot of the outrages currently experienced in. Like, Standard right. gets solved so quick. And I think that's a that has a lot to do with it as well. Is like, we're all talking about it, we're all playing it constantly. Everything is so accessible, and that kind of makes the cracks show faster than they normally would have in a different era.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, I'm just having flashbacks to jamming that matchup against you over and over and over again.
Yeah,
you know. But I think you could safely unban Splinter Twin, unrelated to our conversation today.
Right now, maybe. I think people would be far too upset to to allow that in current day. A lot of people harken back to the golden days of Modern, where Birthing Pod, Splinter Twin were legal. You know, there are a lot of cards on the ban list that probably could be safely unbanned. But I don't think the risk is worth it to Wizards at any point, especially right now when there's no Modern paper events. You know, the discourse around Eternal formats is like pretty low in comparison to Standard and now Historic. Because, you know, Modern's not on Arena, and it probably won't be for a very long time. It's a lot of cards to get printed on there.
That'd be so cool, though. I want to go back and play my favorite format again. I just don't want to buy into Magic Online, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff is cheaper than it's ever been.
That's true.
And that you know, I was saying that 6 years ago, I kind of don't want to buy into Magic Online. I don't think it's like a waste of your time or money to do so at this point, because if you want to play Eternal formats, it's still the best way to do it right now. And there are still a lot of money-making opportunities on there as well. It still has their, you know, MTGO has its own economy that is interesting. It's a lot different than paper at times due to card availability and the velocity of data on there. But yeah, I think, I don't know, it's just a weird topic to kind of think about, because we're living in so many different eras at once of Magic that have all culminated into now. And it's hard to put a pin in that and make a definitive call. Like, I don't know. I'm basically rambling at this point on that fact. But my point is, they're not going to unban Splinter Twin and Birthing Pod anytime soon. So if you want to play with them as pet cards, go ahead and grab them. But I don't think we're going to be making money off them anytime soon.
No, definitely not. I think they would give us a little more of a heads up too, you know, if they were thinking about doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to transition out of our outrage talk a little bit, still kind of tangentially related to finance, some cool news that happened in the Twitter sphere is the professor started an initiative to do a fundraiser for the Trans Lifeline, was trying to get something like $10,000 or whatever, and it ended up raising over like 100K, right?
Yeah, I think the total was 116,000, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was insane watching the Magic community come together and, like, you know, everyone was donating really cool prizes to give out to people who donated. Like, the Final Strike original art got put up as a prize. There were Magic Fests in a box given by Channel Fireball. Cool Stuff Inc. gave a bunch of stuff. I don't know. It was just really nice to see, after all of the angry name calling and stuff on Twitter, that our community came together and raised like a ton of money for a really cool cause. And if you donated, there's a chance you could have gotten some really cool prizes too. I wish I could have donated more, but
yeah, I made a small donation. I wasn't able to go ham on it. But you know, I didn't win anything. But yeah. Props to those that did. There was some really cool stuff in this auction. And giveaway, I guess. Raffle? What would you call it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably a raffle, you know, because it was like randomly chosen from people who donated. But yeah, I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. Yeah, definitely.
A little light in the darkness here, since Magic discourse has been so ugly lately. There are a lot of things to complain about, but having one nice thing, it's good to have a break. And I think we're jumping into another nice thing here with this championship. Not so much the metagame, but seeing players like Emma Handy and Autumn Burchett, you know, in kind of relation to this has been a kind of a big thing. And
hell yeah,
my Twitter feed right now is very positive just looking at all this stuff.
I know, it's cool. Gives you the feel goods. Yeah, it's nice to see. Like, I've been following Emma and Autumn for a long time, and it's like sick to see them in the top eight right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing the results from that.
It's absolutely
nice. It's nice, like you said, a little light after all the crap we had to wade through on Twitter for a week.
Yeah. I mean, we could see another little light on a Monday if these bannings go well, quote unquote.
Yeah, we'll see. I wouldn't mind waking up. I guess actually it'd be my first break at the day job, getting on Twitter and seeing Omnath gone. I'd do a little celebration.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, since Zendikar Rising came out, I've kind of been off of standard, just playing, you know, exclusively historic. I'm pretty sure. I think I played a few best of one standard games on Arena, but that's not usually the way I like to experience Magic. But, you know, I'll do a quest if I need to.
Right.
Get some free gold.
I've been doing a lot of limited
work. Oh, like, yeah, you have been, huh?
The Zendikar Rising limited, if people are into that, it's way fun. I would recommend checking it out if you have some gems. Mm-hmm. I'm not any good at limited, but I have been having a blast. And so far I've been going infinite in Arena with it, so that's cool.
Yeah, speaking of Zendikar Rising, I think we had a few cards to go over for Eternal Play. You had your article come out last week, and you had some pretty significant things to note there, right?
Yeah, there's a couple that I think we won't recap my entire article. Mm-hmm. The one I'm really hot on, though, is the Skyclave Apparition. I picked up a bunch of these because it's being played in Eternal formats in decks that I like and I already play. It's showing up in all the different taxes lists. There's a couple different modern taxes lists that are now playing multiple copies of Skyclave Apparition and taken 5-0s in Modern. Death and Taxes is playing them in Legacy. Maverick's playing them in Legacy. The Esper Vial is playing them in Legacy. They're still hanging out at around the like $2 to $3 range. So I think, I remember when we went to that Vegas Grand Prix and we're driving home, we're all sitting in a McDonald's and we find out that Death and Taxes took the event down. And like immediately, you remember that?
Yeah, and that like, was shocking.
Yeah, and we immediately saw all the Death and Taxes pieces like shoot up in price.
Mm-hmm.
It's a popular deck. It's a fun deck. I played it. I played it in that event. No, I didn't. I played Goblins. I thought about playing
Death and Taxes. Basically the same thing.
That event. Yeah, but you know, I had that deck together for a long time, and maybe I should have sold out of it right then when my Rashad and Ports were still worth money. But you know, if something like that happened again, I could see Skyclave like continue to go up, because like people who are famous for playing Taxes stuff, who are creators right now, are playing them. I think it's a good card to get in on. And then
yeah, for sure,
Scourge of the Skyclaves is another one that's seen like a ton of Modern play, and I feel like an idiot for discounting this when I saw it spoiled. It's that you know, demon that's being played in the Death Shadow lists right now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that shot up in price. I wish I had some, because I want to play that deck.
Yeah, but, it saw a low of $8, and now it's hovering around 17, 18. So I think, yeah, you know, there's still a good opportunity to get these, because Zendikar Rising is in a supply choke right now.
Right.
Still, I don't know if allocations have gone out yet from distributors and people hearing about when they'll get more past what they have now. But this is a mythic in a new set and kind of a supply shortage, so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it go up a little more.
Right. And it's going to keep getting played, too. Like, it's really good in that Death Shadow list. So as long as Death Shadow is good, like, Scourge is going to be good.
For sure. And yeah, like I was, like you were pointing out with the Apparition, these cards are already seeing upward movement, less so on the Apparition, but more on the Scourge of the Skyclaves here. You know, they're going up. So I think right now is a good time to get into these for future growth here. I don't think they're going to be going away anytime soon.
Oh, definitely not. Also, it's kind of like cool set dressing. Those lands, the modal lands that we talk about a lot, like Agadeem's Awakening is going up too, and so is the Turn Timber Symbiosis. And those are played in similar decks. Like Agadeem's is a one of in all of the Scourge decks. And then I think all the Charbelcher lists are driving those two in particular. But
yeah, just constant, you know, steady upward movement on the charts that I'm looking at here. I don't think it's bad to get into these now. Still, we're sort of at a ground floor area. You know, Scourge out of all of them feels maybe the worst, but it's still good.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be demand for them.
Would have been good to get them at 8 if he could have.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
Bylist style prices. It's a no brainer for me.
Yeah. I'm going to trade into some. I'm trying to bank credit at our local shop. Just because I want to play with them, you know? If I ever get to play Webcam Modern, I guess. I put the rest of the deck together, and then I was like, I could just proxy these. But anyway. So yeah, I think those are the ones to hit on. I talked a little bit about Alnath, or Seagate Stormcaller, like, being potentials. We haven't broken Seagate yet, but I think there's still potential for that one to keep an eye on it, I guess, is where we'll end with the Zendikar Rising Eternal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a list out there for it, but that's one that dropped. It did not see a steady rise. People were hyped on it at first, and then it went down because no one's playing it out of the gate. But
yeah, it looks like it's leveling out at around $5. So, unless there's a strategy that really makes this a powerful force in some metagame, I think it's going to stay there for quite a while.
Yeah, someone would have to make a sick deck around it that took everyone by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Anyway, how about those Pokemon cards, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, if you want to... I think we can wrap up the cast with a sort of a brush over of what's going on there. I think it's been the hot topic in our Discord for like 2 weeks now. People just want to talk about Pokemon, which is, you know, I mean, who hates Pokemon, you know? Love myself a Charizard. But
it's just, it's wild, the hype surrounding that right now with, like, you know, Logan Paul and Logic.
Yeah.
Like, talking about Pokemon earlier. Cards now. Yeah.
I mean, talking about it, he dropped $250,000 on a, you know, a PSA 10 Charizard.
Well, I mean, it was PSA 10. Can you fault him? If you ask, I can't do that with a straight face.
To that guy, you know, money is essentially worthless, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. I don't know. I don't know what to say about Pokemon. Like, I think it's a lot of it's nostalgia, and I think
it's 100% nostalgia.
Yeah. Wish I still had my collection. I guess I'd sell it right now.
Yeah, our buddy Driz. I'm kind of excited to see what his haul from his broken lock storage unit is. He said he snapped his key off trying to unlock it, but I can't wait to see what his haul is.
Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah,
he gets that fixed.
You know, I don't think like picking up graded ones if you can find them at reasonable prices probably isn't an awful idea.
Yeah,
but I feel like we're in the boom. The
Yeah, we're in the boom right now, and there's going to be a very quick bust in probably a few months here. Some might disagree. You know, we've got folks kind of preaching for collectibles as being, you know, alternative assets that are more serious than they've ever been in the collectible card game space. Like I said, it's been the hot topic in our Discord. We have a lot of. I guess I shouldn't say a lot, but pretty much two camps here where either they're buying into the hype or they're not.
Right.
It feels like there's no in between.
I'll be watching it with interest though. Like, I'm staying out of it personally because I only have so much bandwidth, but I am watching it. It's really fun to see cards I played with as a kid selling for $250,000.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Like, you know, you and I, of course, we have nostalgia for Pokemon. We've both played the Pokemon TCG at various points over the last 10 years. You know, I mean, I'm kind of out of it in the video game space, but you've pretty much been on every Pokemon game on release since I've known you.
Yeah. I don't have any of the expansions for the new one just because, you know, working three jobs means I'm not obsessing over hatching shinies right now.
Oh, God.
But, I still love the property. It was hard when I was working at ABU and we'd get the new Pokemon product and I'd look at it and be like, I kind of want to open that, but I don't play. You know,
play. A lot of those cards were not, you know, super valuable at the time. But maybe we're seeing that tune change here, at least in the short term.
Nostalgia is a powerful force.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the final thought on that, maybe for now.
Yeah. I mean, the big discussion that we were having here too was, will we see $1 million Black Lotus at the end of this year? I think it was Vintage Values in our Discord was espousing that we might see that Alpha Black Lotus as $1 million card at near mint. And I think that's a bit, graded. I think it's an exaggeration to say like a raw Alpha Lotus of any description other than perfect will be hitting that kind of number. I think the last one we saw sell at PWCC auction was $160,000 closing, if I'm remembering right.
Something like that, yeah. It's...
You know, if Charizard is not $1 million, then Black Lotus is certainly not a $1 million card just yet. I don't think it's impossible, but I think we're pretty far away from that future.
Yeah, I also think, honestly, a lot of it's going to depend on the rest of the economy too, like what happens in November in the US and all of that junk. Like,
yeah, kind of want to skirt away from that here.
Yeah, no, but I mean, just like, yeah, but I think there's a lot of factors that go into whether or not Black Lotus hits a million.
Yeah, I think that does it for us this week, huh?
Yeah, God, almost took that to a place we don't want to go. Yeah, man, that was a fun one. Anyway, if anyone has any questions, you feel free to hit us up anytime in QS Cast QA, or you can DM us or whatever. You have any final thoughts or anything, Crowberry?
Wash your hands and wear a mask.
Yeah, amen. Anyway, it was great talking with you, man. It was great talking to everyone who's hanging out in the QS coverage channel right now.
Thanks for joining us on a Sunday.
Yeah, I hope you're all staying safe, taking care of each other.
Keep your eyes peeled for those bands tomorrow. I think that's the big thing we'll all be watching.
I'll be tweeting about it, for sure. But anyway, we'll catch you all next week, on Thursday, probably. If technology is with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Take care of yourselves, everyone.
Thanks, guys.